Sabbath blessing, everyone. Touch me with thy healing hand, O great physician from above. Take this trembling sinner's hand and give me power and love.
Thank you again, brother, for that beautiful song. If you can kneel, we're going to start with prayer. Let's have a blessings to everyone that's joining us here in our room, the radio, and on the stream. And thank you, Jesus, for fixing that. So please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very, very much for blessing us with your presence as you do each and every time two or more are gathered in your midst. And we understand completely that we can gather long distance like this online, or like people have been doing it for decades on the phones. We can gather an agreement on a phone, well then we could certainly do it online as well. And so thank you for blessing us and letting us know decades before the internet even came that we would be doing this. That was amazing to see come to fruition. Thank you also for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost with salvation and the joy of salvation, because that peace you give us, Father, even in the midst of intense trial is amazing. And thank you for forgiving us when we have our knee-jerk reactions to trials and stuff. And please bless us with many opportunities to go forth and share the faith with many so as to bring the souls in. And thank you for giving those that keep coming against us. Please open their eyes before it is too late. And thank you again for blessing us with your word and giving us an understanding of it and bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And we offer this prayer, and we also pray that you bless everyone that was mentioned in the prayer requests earlier in the children's study and here in the study hour in the beginning as well as now. And so thank you, Father. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, so I might go over a minute or two on this one because I got a feeling the Spirit is going to make me a little talkative. Because this has been going on for years. As a matter of fact, he gave me this sermon years ago, but he didn't give me permission. I didn't get the understanding to share it until this week, and it was amazing how he revealed I should share it, but because of what's been going on and offline. There's many dear souls that need to hear this, and many of them get upset. And so, as we know, the loud cry is something that goes global. And please don't PM me during sermons. All right. So the loud cry is something that goes global, as we all know. And so it's a major prophesied event wherein every single soul on earth is going to hear it. It's so major, in fact, that all the governments are going to pass Sunday laws to try to stop it. I mean, we have the opportunity to be part of something that is just mind-boggling to me. But as we know, the governments are going to fail. You know, I mean, they'll pass the laws, yeah, but they're going to fail. They're not going to shut us up. But like any other message of God, where does this present truth, you know, to them? Or where does the present truth message start? Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. And if you're in the stream, the notes are right on the screen right now. And if you're in the chat room, you know they're underneath it. So, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it must begin, or first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" And so, as we go forth to warn the people of God, Satan's going to flex his muscles all he can to make the obedient remnant people feel that which we are doing is hateful, angry, and ungodly by sending many people we're trying to warn from the fallen Seventh-day Adventist church, because that's the church of the ninth hour that prophecy said would fall, and then a remnant of her seed would step out and try to warn them as well as the rest of the world. But the focus is always starting at the church, which used to be the Seventh-day Adventist church, the ninth hour. And so these poor souls, and this is why the Lord gave me this sermon this week, because of what's been going on since I started putting up these videos and some of you started doing stuff, the work you're doing. These poor souls from the fallen SDA church keep claiming we're evil for doing as prophecy predicted the obedient remnant people were going to do. Can you believe that? But this is the state of affairs today. I mean, still, I mean, it gets to you. And, you know, this, even though we know what we're doing is right, it's still going to be, you know, difficult to deal with because you love these people, right? I mean, it's not like we get up in the morning saying, okay, who can we offend today? No, that's not a Seventh-day remnant child of God. And so it gets to you. And so I went into the Word, and after much soul-searching, Bible study, and prayer, the Lord reminded me just last Sabbath morning that, just to name a few, he told Jeremiah to go forth. And when I say just to name a few, I'm talking about patriarchs and prophets. But he told Jeremiah to go forth to warn the people of God. He told Ezekiel to go and show them their abominations. He told Martin Luther to literally put a 95 thesis smack dab on the church doors to let them know all the bad things that are going on. And way back after the flood, we don't even have to talk about before the flood because that's pretty, you know, blunt. But way back after the flood, he told Moses to tell the people to stop sinning in certain areas to the point Korah got so upset, judgment fell upon him in a major way. And that's why this sermon's here today, instead of 3 years ago when he gave it to me, or 2 years ago, whenever it was. Because I don't want these dear SDA people who are trolling and slamming and lying and twisting scripture and spirit of prophecy and all this to end up like Korah. These are like my, well, kind of like-minded brethren, but when you sit in apostasy, you can't understand a lot of stuff, and you fall off the path. But check out Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 to 17 here, not just 11. It says, for the Spirit, or rather the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, because left and right, we keep hearing, oh, quit telling us, like Korah, what he would say. Quit telling us about the bad things. Tell us about the good things we're doing. The SDA church is beautiful. It's this, it's that, it's the chosen, all this, you know, it's a remnant. They think it's the remnant, too, which can't even physically be possible. How can it be the ninth and 11th hour at the same time? It's impossible. But have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And that's why I'm making those videos. And I'm not even halfway done of some of the stuff that I've, you know, the Lord's been offered me to share. Going on, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the Lord is the one that opened it up. Going on, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we're in the last days. So you want to talk the days are evil? We're off the chart here. And finishing, it says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I mean, read your Bibles. And see how many prophets were hated and killed for loving the people enough to tell them the truth. Need I remind you, anyone, of the great tribulation of the Inquisition of Rome that Jesus spoke of, wherein hundreds of millions of Christians died for loving people enough to warn them about the lies of Roman Catholicism, and now... It's not even a Christian church. The Roman Catholic Church, I mean, have you ever noticed the words Roman Catholicism before? That's not a denominational name. Seriously. It's a political agenda. The word Roman is obvious. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. But most are unaware that the word Catholic actually means universal in English. And so when they say Roman Catholic, they are declaring that from day one, when they tagged themselves with that name, that they had plans under the guidance of Satan to force Romanism upon all the people of the world. Universal control. Universal Roman control. So the words Roman and Catholic have absolutely nothing to do with Christianity and everything to do with the long prophesied one world government of the man of sin in Rome. Getting back to our duty, in many emails, YouTube comments, and phone calls, all I hear from these Seventh-day Adventist people is for me to stop showing everybody their faults and preach the love of Jesus. Well, not everybody's seen it because a lot of people don't care. The only ones that are getting upset are the SDAs. I mean, those of us that read Bibles know that those words prove Satan is speaking when they say, we quit telling us all the bad things we're doing. Those words prove that Satan is speaking from their own lips as he did in Korah's lips long ago. That demon has been using that lie for eons, and people who don't read their Bibles keep falling for it. I mean, they actually hope to make you feel the love you have for them is now hatred by demanding we stop warning them of danger. And that's what made me go into that prayer last Sabbath. You know, because I knew they were wrong, but it just got to me. It says, Father God, why is this, you know, because, you know, the dark cloud from Satan, he keeps on saying, yeah, they're right, you're wrong, Nick, you're wrong. I mean, I praised God that Sabbath morning when my prayer was answered. Our Father gave me a brand new and even stronger desire in my heart to ignore the lies of the devil and his ensnared subjects who attack me daily in emails and on the phone as well as online. We in the remnant church have all been instructed to go forth and do as God's people have done for ages to help those precious souls who do have a heart for Jesus to come out of repentance because they're in there. Revelation 18:4 wouldn't have been written. He wouldn't have called them my people. They're in there. We got a job to do. And yes, this message is going to anger them. But so be it. Do you recall what Paul declared to the Galatians in Galatians 4:16? Oh, PM is private message. Sorry about that, soldier of Christ. Well, I'm talking to the PM is in our, we have an online chat room too. And so, but anyway, do you recall what Galatians 4:16 says? And I just happened to look over, so because the text chat still scrolls for some odd reason in the stream sometimes. Well, that's okay. Some people don't know. But Galatians 4:16 says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" In today's world, wherein good is evil and evil is good, the elect of God will be openly hated for the truth we present, and so expect it, brothers and sisters. And don't let their sugar-coated lies of false love demanding you stop warning them so they can continue on in their apostasy and head off to hellfire with complacent smiles on their faces. Our love for them cannot keep quiet. And so when they demand we shut up, remember that the SDR people have never been known to water down the truth in the past, and we certainly won't be doing it in the future. Because Jesus Christ is the head of this church. We have no pope or president. And so as the Lord told the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 16:2, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." Pretty obvious. Let them know. Amazing, isn't it? That verse is actually in the Bible that all of us read each and every day. The people of God act like it's never been penned, though, when they say, "Preach smooth things unto us so as to calm their fears." And that's also prophesied. I think it's in Isaiah. You know, I wonder sometimes, how many Christians today would be called Christians if they were alive in the days of the apostles? Yes, many will assume I'm being an old-fashioned person. But then, that's just a silly saying Satan cooked up to hide the fact that our God never changes. In other words, when someone says a Christian is old-fashioned, that's actually a compliment. Because we know we're in good company by being peculiar, or old-fashioned, as they call us. For it is written in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And so the basic reality is, when they say we are old-fashioned because we don't do as the rest of the world does, they're also saying we are obedient to the God that never changes. And so I say, thank you. I'm old-fashioned, and I praise my God for helping me overcome. In these last days, the remnant of her seed is going to have a lot of work to do, as well as a lot of temptations to turn from. Reason being is nearly every soul the Lord sends our way is going to be an open sin. And some of them that claim to be like-minded won't even be aware of the sin they're in. And it will be up to us to help them see their plight. Not waving fingers and yelling at them and calling them names and stuff like, no. That's not how Jesus would do it. Like some of these street preachers, you know, a young girl walks up, he calls her a whore, and he calls her boyfriend a whoremonger. Yeah, that's going to get them the bow to Christ. No, it won't. So that being the case, we must learn to fine-tune our approach using true love and not be so in their face like, you know, the Westboro Baptist types that scream hateful slurs towards homosexual people or military, telling them, thank God your son is lying in a casket. Could you imagine someone saying that to you at your son's funeral? And they think that that's going to make people want to become part of their church family. No. I'm not saying to walk away and let them revel in sin either, though. Because we all know what it says in the book of Ezekiel. Check it out. Ezekiel 3, verses 17 to 21. A lot of people forget about this section. That's why the world is a mess. It says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman out of the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul, because you obeyed. You did what you were created to do." Or born again to do, obviously. Going on, it says again, "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and committeth iniquity. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. And see, this is another reason why Satan's trying to get the SDA people to tell us to shut up. Not only will it cause them to go to hell, it'll cause us to go to hell as well, because we obeyed Satan. We shut up. That's just not happening. Going on and finishing, it says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So yes, the remnant Christians should withdraw from the company of those who are a snare to our souls, because if they refuse, they are calling Christ a liar, who declared in the numerous areas of the Old and New Testament passages that to yoke unequally is to ignore his loving warnings to play in the streets of sin. This is why we have all seen how the Lord has moved many of us away from friends and family. Quite often it's done by the way he actually moves them away from us, and not so much as us being the ones that move away from them. And what I mean is, some of us have a hard time walking away from those we love, myself included, who we know to be in sin, and so the Lord moves them away from us instead. And it is also wise for us not to associate with those we know to be in sin, regardless of the fact that they claim to be of the same faith. For it is also written in 1 Corinthians 15:33 that we should not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, staying in an apostate church means, Paul's lying. Worse yet, the Holy Spirit who told Paul to write that down is lying. That's literally what they're saying. Either we get serious about our walks, brothers and sisters, or we too are going to be lost. Striving on to perfection isn't only about stopping known sin. It's also about obeying the Lord who made, called, and saved us from hellfire so as to share his word with others we meet. All too often, Christians try their best to clean up their walks while at the same time ignore the warning signs all around them that prevent them from, you know, gaining perfection, because they don't want to give up what entices the flesh just to walk with Jesus. These are what Scripture calls the lukewarm Christians and foolish virgins. In today's world, the term fake Christians seems a little bit more familiar. And when we come in contact with those the Lord sends our way that refuse to hear his truth and walk in a way that pleases and glorifies him, we as a remnant people must shun their society, because if we believe the word of God to be true, then when it says evil communications corrupt good manners, it means just that. Now, yes, we have heard all the excuses. I'll try and reach this poor soul by hanging out with them to show them Jesus in me. But is that what your Bible says to do? No. It says the exact opposite. 2 Timothy 2:16 says we must shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. To declare you will help that person when the Scripture says it is impossible for you to do that by hanging with them, you can help them, but not by hanging with them, means you have literally created another Jesus, fashioned after your own private opinion of how God should be, just as prophecy warned most are now doing. Check out this prophesied statement made by the prophet Isaiah thousands of years ago that described perfectly the majority of the people claiming to be Christians today, and we've shared this many times in our church services. He said in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, most Christians today have no idea what that passage means, because unless you're obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrinal truths as well as the prophetic symbols contained in his word cannot be seen by you. It's just impossible. All he's going to give you is repentance and, you know, bring you to Christ as Savior, and then you'll start seeing stuff. But as obedient students of the prophecies, you know, the prophetic word, we all know what this means. Without getting into too much detail, we all know women, you know, the women in prophecy means the church. The one man here is Jesus Christ as Lord. The bread, of course, is his Bible. We were just discussing the show bread earlier. The garment is your walk. That's why Joshua's garments had to be changed. And the name, obviously, is Christianity. So if I was to put this passage in today's language, this is what it means. In the last days, all the churches will declare Christ Lord. But while doing so, they will read the rewritten Bibles the way they prefer to read it. And this includes adding and taking verses out that go against their opinion of how God should be. They will walk the way that pleases their own flesh, which means certain Bible verses regarding everything from the Sabbath to fornication will be utterly ignored, but they will still demand we call them Christians just to take away their shame. All of us have met Christians that walk like that. They all say the same thing when we mention God's law, dress reform, or even hellfire. I've heard people say that they keep each and every day a Sabbath. And I found the easiest way to prove them lying to themselves is to ask them, you got a job? Seriously, that's usually where it ends. But when they say yes, then you could tell them, well, then you're going to have to quit your job because you can't keep the Sabbath holy while working. So now you're in sin. 7 days a week, worse yet, because you said every day's a Sabbath now. Or if they say they can pick any day of the week they wanted each week as Sabbath, we can respond with, like, perhaps, why did Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden? Well, most people say, you know, they know, because, well, they disobeyed God's command to not eat from a certain tree. So again, we could say, well, but if it doesn't matter what God commands, and couldn't they just have picked any of the trees from the garden to avoid, and they'll still be okay with God? And they're going to, of course, they're going to say no, because God chose a specific tree. Then we could respond by saying that, well, he said in commandment number 4 that he chose a specific day to be a Sabbath, and that day is day 7. And, of course, that's usually where the conversation ends, but seed is planted. Even if they walk away in a huff, you planted a seed. That's all that matters. The Lord's going to give the increase when someone else waters that seed for them. Or they water it themselves by going into a Bible. You know, I've often found that people that are very much into the world are always used by Satan to use the seed along with their very tender words and even friendly behaviors to get the Christians closest to them to become complacent to the evil ways so as to keep them as friends and ensnared by disobedience, as we saw from Ezekiel. They will make excuse after excuse as to how they're doing all they can to quit drinking or smoking or watching porn or bullying people or even doing drugs, while all along they never really plan to stop any of that sin at all. It's all words designed to keep you as a friend who will help them in need and even spank them spiritually when they need a self-fabricated rebuke for doing wrong the other day. Satan uses this tactic often because it works. I mean, after all, he's been studying mankind for 6,000 years, and so it's not like he's a dummy when it comes to this stuff. So people like this are very effective agents for the enemy of souls. And he does this to lead Christians from off the path of righteousness onto the path of complacency, and eventually ecumenicalism, like we see all the churches, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where as long as they claim Jesus is Lord, even when their fruits declare otherwise, the Christian will still call them friend and brother or sister. In fact, look around. This is why all the churches say homosexual marriage is okay and Allah is God. The pretended moral atmosphere surrounding these weak and fallen souls is tainted with the stench of hell and no one can smell it. Such disobedience can only exert a hell-bound influence that is impossible for weak souls to escape. And before you know it, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, their evil communications eventually do corrupt the good manners to where the Christian is no longer peculiar in God's eyes. And this is why they now see nothing wrong with homosexuality and false gods in the SDA church. Because we got all that stuff on camera, declaring Allah is God or the homosexual marriage is okay. They said this all on camera. And that's just a fraction of what's been happening in the SDA church. I mean, just 50 years ago, people would be leaving the SDA church in droves if they heard any of the sermons of today. Guaranteed. I mean, I got an email yesterday morning about how a man left the SDA church, him and his family left the SDA church recently because or years ago, actually, they started a home church because, you know, as much as they love the original SDA theology, as we in the SDR church do, they just couldn't sit in that church anymore. It was crazy what they were saying and doing. And so, again, look around and see how the people claiming to be Christians look and act or even dress no different from the people who first mocked the Christians a few decades ago, because bad company corrupts godly character. They have continued to disobey the Lord and hang with the people they shouldn't be hanging with, and now they dress, act, smoke, drink, and do everything they do. But call them Christians, because they don't want to have to deal with shame. Take the people on YouTube as a prime example in the way they like to hide behind computer monitors. And whenever the SDA people comment on my channel and leave hateful comments defending their apostate church, before responding, I usually go to their channel to see if they're a troll. And I'm not going to tell you how I know. But just keep in mind that I was involved with the internet and the green screen days. I know what a troll is, all right? And so even before the internet started, we were doing D-dialing. We know, you know, those of us. And I'm not saying I invented the internet. I wasn't there. And Al Gore was nowhere to be seen, by the way. So, but they leave hateful comments defending the apostate church. And I just go and I check them out and see who they are. If they're a troll, it's not good news. And you would not believe, though, many of them aren't trolls. They're just Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, the trolls themselves don't even realize what they're doing, so I'm not going to tell anybody how I know they're trolling, but because then they'll change it, and then I'll have a hard time finding them. But so the ones that aren't trolling, even though they don't realize they are sometimes, but they're innocently defending their church, not realizing that they're defending Satan. And I don't say that lightly. Do this sometime when you get a chance. Because I leave the comments from the Seventh-day Adventists on my my YouTube pages. I leave them on there. The trolls I usually delete because, I mean, these guys come in with 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 different names, and it's just annoying. I just delete them. Or I make it to where the comments have to be pre-approved because they'll just spam the daylights out of you. But the honest SDA will go in there, and then you go to their, oh, it's just so sad. You go to their YouTube channel after they made a comment using Ellen White out of context or a twisted Bible verse, which means they're not reading Ellen White and they're not reading Scripture. They're reading a pastor who's a wolf. You go to their YouTube channel, and they have everything from satanic rock music videos, flesh and all, with all sorts of disgusting spewage in them. They promote gambling and violent video war games that lure more souls into hellfire with them. Now, see, I think this is one of the reasons some of these SDAs do make troll accounts, because they're so embarrassed. They know if they come to our place and they make comments, that they're going to know that they do this or do that or do this or do that. Or they like this or like. You wouldn't believe some of the videos they like on these SDA pages. And they don't think there's anything wrong with it. One can see why there will be so much weeping at the end of the 1,000 years. I mean, worse yet, these people claim to be the remnant people. As prophesied, the fruits they had in the ninth hour are 100% gone now. They were the remnant at that time because everybody, for all intents and purposes, thought Jesus Christ was coming in their generation. But he didn't. An 11th hour had to come. They're no longer the remnant. You could back that with Scripture and historic record and spirit of prophecy. And I do that on a page on the website. And so the ninth hour Seventh-day Adventist church look just like the lost souls of every apostate church on earth right now, tattoos and all. And think of the reality of that fact. If the Seventh-day Adventist leaders were so godly, so trustworthy, so holy and blessed men of God, why has their flock become no different than the churches their parents and grandparents came out of? I mean, that says a lot about the leadership in the SDA church and how it affects the congregation. These hirelings are letting these poor sheep scatter all over the place, and they're ending up doing things they shouldn't even be doing. That's why the 11th hour was needed to start, and a remnant of her seed came out, and we're doing the work because they won't. In choosing friends, we should place our standard as high as possible, because In so doing, the truth held in Proverbs 27:17 will come to fruition in that iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I mean, after all, when our Father looks upon us from above, we have to know that he can tell where we are obedient and disobedient by simply looking upon the people we're hanging with, or sitting in a pew next to, no less. The bottom line is this. We must avoid creating friendships with those whose example you would never want to imitate. In so doing, become one with the world. And when we do that, we are seen in a way that is not very pleasing to our Lord, whom we seek to please. I mean, James 4, verse 4 says, "Ye adulteresses, or rather, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." So choose your friends wisely so as to better your own walk. I mean, since we strive on to that perfection, making friends with those that also strive for that same perfection will most assuredly help us keep on the path and get some really nice sharp iron. I mean, this is the only wise choice for the remnant prophesied to be in that number. I mean, do a study on the 144,000, and you will not see a single person in that number is going to be associated with such people. Not one of them. Jesus truly is their Lord. And yes, in case you're wondering, this is why when we all found Christ, we saw our friends and even family members walk away from us, because the love of God in us was something the worldly cannot handle. And it's actually a blessing in that we are purposely separated by the Lord so as to allow him to work in us when we finally decide to obey him. And for those of you that are wondering why people that, like say you walk into a store or something like this happened to me and my wife, separately in fact, people walk up to you and if they're demon-possessed, because most people are, but today they call it mental illness, you know. And so, but let's just say someone comes up to you and they're possessed and you walk up with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see things you never saw before. They're going to scream at you, they're going to yell, or they're going to run away as if you're on fire or holding a bomb or something. You know, they're scared of you. It's no mistake. I mean, some of us here, and this includes my wife and I, we saw how the Lord called us to get away from our kindred that once obeyed, his truth opened up to us in the same way it did for Abram, who later became Abraham. And the enemy of souls knows this, and this is why some of his possessed people get so upset. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." And bless us he did. This is no mistake. This is what we saw happen with our very own eyes. The second we decided to follow the Lord's lead and get away from our kindred, within 6 months of leaving them far behind in the suburbs of Chicago, we discovered the truth about the Sabbath and many other amazing truths. And every Seventh-day Adventist I've ever met that has left the Seventh-day Adventist Church said within, you know, a few months or even up to 6 months, they too have discovered things in the Word they never knew were there. Just from getting out of the SDA Church, get away from thy spiritual kindred as well. And yes, it can be hard to walk away sometimes, but quite often, the truth you know is what makes it easy to walk away, even though you still do it with tears. Still, it is easier because those that used to love you now appear to hate you after finding Christ, and no one wants to be around people that hate them. I mean, the easiest way I found to keep this truth ever before me is always to keep the future life of New Jerusalem constantly in my view. Praying as often as I do also makes it that much easier to prefer the path better than any path the world has to offer, because everywhere I look, I see something that's eventually going to rot, rust, burn, and crumble to dust on the ground in that great and dreadful day. So with that in mind, it's spiritually idiotic to me to make friends with those I know will only tempt me to compromise my faith or become complacent in their lack of faith, because their fruits declare that they too will eventually rust, rot, burn, and crumble to dust on that great and dreadful day. I want my iron to be sharpened by a real friend, and I would hope my iron can help him as well. And yes, even if your current friend is the smartest person you ever met, and even if he or she appears to have much wisdom, if they treat the truth as it is written in the Word of God flippantly, or even with indifference, or they constantly declare, I'm not convicted of that truth yet, which means they really are. They're just saying that to, walk away from it. They should in no way, shape or form, ever be considered as a chosen and trusted friend that you can rely on. You can have them as an acquaintance to hopefully share the truth with them every now and then, but, that's about as far as it goes. I forgot to scroll up the notes. Sorry about that. So, this is also why it's important to stay in the Word as well as on our knees as often as possible, day by day. In so doing, we learn of men like Abel or Joseph or Mordecai and Daniel, for that matter, who refused to bow to the demands of others all around him. In some cases, like Abel, they died for their unbending faith. In today's world, we literally see 200,000 Christians a year dying like Abel right now, one every 2 minutes. Being the end times, hanging with the worldly now is as dumb can get. I mean, after all, the martyrdoms alone confirm we are in that little time of trouble that happens right before the plagues start. And those plagues are the final sign that says the judgment has finally ended. Probation is closed not just on the churches, because it has closed on the churches. I got a page on the website all about that. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, probation is closed on the corporate body. We don't know when it happened. We just have the fruit and proof that now, yes, it did. It hasn't closed on the people yet. The plagues ain't started yet. And so that being the case, why would you want to take a chance of losing your salvation this close at the end over something as trivial as having a friend who you know for a fact is still locked in the world? Many so-called Christians today look no different than the world they revel in. To these lukewarm Christian souls, the message is plain. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye should be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18. Now, yes, the Word of God can be very blunt at times. I mean, we see verses like, Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say tummy ache, it says death. But to get to God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or look at Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Pretty blunt, right? But they always say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, what Bible did Jesus and the apostles use when they preached? That usually shuts them up. It's not Old Testament the way you think. It means Old Covenant. And this verse, especially, Leviticus, especially as blunt as it is, is nothing more than simple truth. But because most people today are used to living in lies or embracing political correctness that demands we all look the other way when someone is in open sin, so as to not offend them, the snowflake theology that's out there now, it means truth like this can and will anger some people. That's why Satan went with the PC thing, the political correctness. That makes what we're doing targeted for that free speech. That's why I put that page on the website many years ago about free speech. They're going to take it away. But is that going to shut up the remnant? No. Will it shut up SDAs? Shoot. Yeah. It will. Definitely. I mean, it's already shut them up. For example, a few decades ago, all churches claiming Christ Lord knew homosexuality was an abomination unto God. Today, because of the 501c3, and if you speak out in ways that aren't politically correct, you can lose your 501c3 and all that cash you get for keeping it. All the churches, including the Ninth Hour Seventh-day Adventist Church, claims it is either, homosexuality is either a sanctioned lifestyle by God or simply an alternative one. It depends on which church, whether it's a conservative one or not. The biblical and the obviously prophetic fact that bad company corrupts godly character has been confirmed by literally billions of people today, and so sermons like this are needed to be shared. This is also why we see Christian persecution happening all over the world now. And this includes the so-called civilized nations like the USA. We, as remnant Christians, need to do all we can to share as much love as possible when helping those the Lord sends our way. We must share the love of Jesus. That means even if they are in open sin, we are not to call them names and shout from the rooftops all the sins they committed. Unless it's a preacher that speaks doctrinal error, well then yeah, Ephesians 5:11, you got to rebuke him. But if he's doing stuff behind closed doors the Lord will deal with him for that. There's no need to dig up their dirty laundry unless they put it out there on a clothesline for everybody to see. And then, you can say, hey, the man needs to step down. But we are to show them the forgiveness of Jesus is very real and a free gift of salvation to them as well. But at the same time, we cannot bend or water down the truth to keep a friend or a loved one close by. Our Heavenly Father has to be our first love. Take Jesus as the ultimate and most perfect example ever spoken and witnessed from heaven. Even from his childhood, he was guarded by the angels of heaven, and even though he was blessed, his life was a constant struggle against the powers of hell. Satan obviously wanted to destroy him any way he could, but Jesus was the most gentle and loving man that ever walked this earth. And he was still alive, obviously, but since the enemy could not get to him personally, he did all he could to get to those around him that misunderstood his message. This is what we too will deal with, because Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. But look around today. The worldly people and the Christians seem to be the best of friends. You know, everything from what they hear to what they eat, drink, and claim as entertainment is truly evil, but they have no idea it is. And so they are hellbound because they gave up obeying the Lord when it came to giving up the little trials placed before them as small tests to see if they would really follow Jesus Christ and eventually come out of danger. But no, they wouldn't even stop there. And I say little trials because we all have seen how some people have forsaken the fellowship with the brethren even as they see the great and dreadful day approaching for something as trivial as dress reform or cigarettes or the fleshly love of a man or a woman outside the faith. As difficult as this is to say, truth is truth. And some people are only called to be the bad example. And so as prophesied, the wheat can see the dangers of hanging with the tares. That will not be found in the remnant church, by the way. The remnant church will have the chaff, but not the tares. You know, the wheat and the chaff, but the SDA church has the wheat and the tares. And Pastor Craig's going to be sharing on that in a couple weeks. As we know, Jesus was opposed in his own home by his siblings, as well as every city he visited. And some of these people claim to be of his faith. But never once did he do as so many of us are tempted to do by those claiming to be Christians. The stainless life of Jesus Christ was an open and gentle rebuke. And this is why some avoided him as some avoid us or leave our number once they visit our church. This is also why some were attracted to him as some are attracted to the peace of Jesus they see in us. This peace is very obvious to those in the turmoil as well as those that rest in Jesus. But the minute that peace moves them to give up a cherished idol, they easily give up the peace Jesus offers for the lusts of the flesh that have been granted them and that what they've known their whole life. When he visited us 2,000 years ago, like many of us today, even his own siblings hated him to scorn. But he did not return that hatred. He took their sneers, insults, and jokes as patiently as he could, and that patience is far above anything some of us have witnessed in our lives. It is here we need much work, myself included. The life of our King, our Commander, our Savior, is the perfect water of life every seed needs that have ever been planted. Even in an evil age, he exalts the glory of heaven. Yes, he spoke with the likes of many different sinners, everything from tax collectors to Pharisees. Jesus did all he could to share his love and truth with them, but he never made permanent associations or hung with these people that refused his love and eternal truth. He never called them trusted friends or brethren. Unlike many Christians today, Jesus treated every human being as a wonderful soul having great value. He taught everyone he met to look upon themselves as people that have been given amazing talents from heaven that, if properly used, would bless their lives because he was the one that gave them those gifts and nothing evil comes from above. And so living in these last days, we see Christians not only claiming Allah is God, we see most declaring those of us that use Scripture properly to expose the false doctrines are evil and even hateful because we refuse to agree with them. There's your PC. Political correctness. That's why Satan invented it. They get angry and even declare us a cult or fanatics because we refuse to change our statement of faith or water down our sermons so they could feel welcome in our church while still reveling in open sin. Luke 6, 22 and 23 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." That's right. When you use Bible truths with them, and they get all upset with you, that is a joyous day. In fact, the Word says you can leap for joy because you had the heavenly courage and were obedient enough to do the right thing no matter how much pain it was bound to cause you. The love you have for Christ and those He sends your way is so strong. When you share that love, you are attacked, and this is exactly what the patriarchs and prophets went through since time began. So again, great is your reward in heaven. Now, for the other toss of that coin, some of you, and especially those of you in the SDA Church, are not going to want to hear. Yes, we know what we're sharing is truth. Because we didn't change the Bible verse, and we didn't water it down in any way, shape, or form to share it with you. And we know that some hate the truth that we share. And we also know they don't have a single Bible verse to back their strange doctrinal claims against this truth. In fact, when they say they don't believe as we do, have you ever noticed what happens when you say, "Okay then, help me see the truth as you see it, in case I am missing something"? And that is when that's when they walk away. Because they never read the Bible in the first place. They just made that up. They spoke a lie in the hopes of getting you to just shut up. And so we know when they shout insults towards us for sharing God's word, they do this without a single Bible verse to back up their evil actions, because that's the only recourse they have. They can't use Scripture to shut us up because they know there's none there. That's why the Catholics hate us as well. Same thing. So again, we are joyful because with all the evidence we know, we have done exactly as Jesus said must be done, no matter how hard it may be to do it at times. But as this, and this is where summer week, by the way, and by the way, I'm going to go over, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes. Well, actually not that, maybe 5 more minutes. So, do not let their threats of walking away from you as a friend or even a family member stop you from doing your Christian duty. We're that close. Remember how it says in the Word that, daughter against father, son, brother against sister, it's happening now. Don't let their hateful comments after sharing a video or a track or even a single Bible verse make you feel as if you did something wrong. All too often, they will do all they can to get you into a complacent frame of mind so as to water down your message of truth, so as to appease their anger and hatred towards it. That's why they troll us. I can't tell you how many people over the years have left the church because we in the Seventh-day Remnant Church refuse to water down the sermons so as to make their unethical ways appear less sinful. No, we love you too much. We don't want you to burn. We aren't into ecumenicalism. Y'all just, say Jesus is Lord and we'll all sing kumbaya. That's not how it works. I mean, the main reason for this sermon is to illustrate the need to examine ourselves and how we can better walk, or better our walk. To be the iron that sharpens the iron of our brethren, as well as show the love of Jesus to the lost souls He sends our way. And so, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine anger, or rather, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And of course, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 10 to 21, what I just read. In closing, when people you seek to help come against you, always remember how they did the same thing to Noah. They did it to Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. They did it to his apostles. And they did it to the hundreds of millions of Christians during the Inquisitions. And they're doing it to us right now, all of us in the SDR Church. But we rejoice in that day, because that means we're getting stronger. And we're going to be able to be part of the Gideon Band. Or the 144,000, you know, the ones that get the ladder, right? We no longer have the society of Luther's day, wherein we can nail a 95 thesis right on the church doors of the SDA church. And think about that for a moment. When the SDA people come against you for putting the videos or the tracks up that display the dirty laundry of the the church leaders when it comes to their doctrinal errors and prophetic strangeness, and this, we're doing it in the same way Luther did for the Pope and his prelates. Do not feel if you did anything wrong then. Because the way they're attacking us is the way they, Rome got in Luther's face for putting that thing on the door. He listed 95 different things. I wonder if I'm going to have 95 videos alone just on some of the stuff that the SDA church is doing. And if I could find a door that they all use, I'd be up there with a hammer and nail. And amen, we expose the errors of the leaders of the people just like Luther did. We're not going after the little guys. We're not going after the people in the pews. We're warning them in love. You need to get out because look what your leader's doing. We're not saying you need to get out because look what you're doing. Even though a lot of times that's where it makes them think. Because, look what you're doing. That means your leader's not even doing their job. I remember, I got a picture on SDA Apostasy where they not only glorified this young man, they took a big old picture of it because he put the word Adventist across his whole forearm in a tattoo. Slap him on the back. Good job. When the Bible says don't scar the body, don't mark it. Don't put marks on your body. And so again, we no longer have the Society of Luther where we can put that 95 thesis on the door. And so when they get up in your face for putting up the videos or the tracks, tell them, just doing the same thing Luther did against the popes and his prelates. And so we're not doing anything wrong. Remember what the Lord told Ezekiel? Son of man, caused Jerusalem to know her abominations. Luther was not in sin for putting that thesis on the door any more than you are for handing them that track or a video or even a simple Bible verse that says their leaders are in sin. And notice this, dear ones trapped in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Do you see any videos or tracks attacking you personally as individuals? Let me know, because I'll pull it. Or I'll ask whoever put it up if they could pull it. No, you don't see any videos like that. Like that 95 thesis of Luther, the remnant people of God are exposing your leaders before your eyes to help you see what the Lord wants you to see. He told us to do this in the same way he told Jeremiah, Luther, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Moses, Noah, all of them. And so how can that be wrong? When every patriarch and prophet before us for the last 6,000 years has done the exact same thing we're doing. How is that wrong? God is love. And seeing that love is the fundamental principle of his government in heaven and on earth, and therefore must also be the foundation of the Christian character, his love alone can keep us on the path that leads to perfection in Christ. And his love can and will enable us, each of us, to endure the trial and temptation we deal with day by day, all the way up until that eastern sky splits wide open and we shout, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." We will echo that which Isaiah wrote in 25 verse 9. And with that, I really hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I love those scripture songs, the ones we make, so much better. And we won't get a copyright strike. And so please, if you can kneel, let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very, very much again for that which is written and giving me the okay to share it this Sabbath. Yeah, because I don't know, it just didn't feel right to do it beforehand. And now I know why. Because now I'm doing these videos and, wow. And so are some of the brethren. We're all getting this, Father. We're all getting attacked now. And so thank you for blessing us and blessing them. We all need more courage, faith, discernment, love. We got a lot more love has to be put out there, Father, all of us. And so thank you so much for making it easy for us. Because we didn't write the Bible. We could just use that which you have written, and it cuts hearts and it brings them in. And please bless those that come against us with forgiveness, because they really don't know what they're doing. If they saw what we see, they'd be on this side of the fence too. And so please bless them with as many opportunities to get home as possible. And again, bless everyone on our prayer list, all those that were mentioned in the prayer request in the room, in the children's study, as well as in the adult study. And thank you once again for blessing us with that latter rain, if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen.